Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio numbered 461. Oh my gosh, already tongue-tied. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is going on, good sir?
Nothing much. Glad to finally return to the big show after a hiatus. It's good to be back.
Yeah, you are being leaner and meaner after... I've got to admit, the whole Ramadan thing makes Lent seem really, really easy. I'm just throwing that out there. That is because that's the only thing that I can compare it to, being as though I'm Catholic.
Catholic. Like, I tell people all the time, it sounds a lot harder than what it really is. Like, once you do it a few times, you kind of get used to it, but I'm like... people still like, no, I don't see myself getting used to that.
That was one thing that I know that diet wise, I changed after I got, it was after the separation, I think, before the actual divorce. But when I changed gyms, the guy told me to eat smaller meal or eat four smaller meals. And even though that really doesn't help your diet, it helped me portion control a lot better in the long run. So it was useful in some instances. And I would imagine that, because it's just not eating during the daytime.
No eating and drinking from sunup to sundown.
Okay.
The drinking part is what really trips people. Like, you can get used to, like, not eating for, like, 9-10 hours, but yeah, not be able to drink anything during that time. Like, you know, it's Texas, so it's 90 some degrees and the sun's not going down. It's like 8:25, 8:30 central time. So
I would imagine that would be the tricky part, because that's what I'm like, man, I drink so much water during the day. that would take some getting used to to do that part.
Yeah, you know, one thing you never get used to: being future endeavored after a pay-per-view loss.
You know what isn't fun about that, too, is when you're not wished well on the way out the door. And of course we're talking about Big Cass, and didn't Dave Meltzer even mention something about Vince McMahon calling a meeting about it to start with? You know, not that every firing doesn't come from the top, but that kind of made it sound a little more personal for some reason.
Yeah, it says a lot in that company, because it's kind of like he was getting a push, and like he just had a pay-per-view match, and like Daniel Bryan won like relatively strong, but it's kind of like you didn't expect, you know, it's Daniel Bryan, so you expect too much of it.
Right.
And then I just got my announcement like by WWE, like, you know, WWE is parting ways with, what's his name, William Calloway?
I'd have to look the name up.
Yeah, like, William whatever, like, that was it. Not, we wish you well in your future endeavors, like, you know, bye. Like, you don't have a job anymore. And the first thing I did was laugh, because I'm like, out of those three, Carmella's the one that had the most successful career and still has a job. Two, I was thinking, how big of a, like, how much could he have done to get fired, considering, like, he's a big-time Donald Trump supporter in a company where Vince McMahon's wife works for Donald Trump. And he's still getting a damn boot. Like, who did he piss off to get fired?
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing thing, I guess, about both him and Enzo, because you noted that neither of them... were well wished on the way out the door. I'm like, man, you really pissed some people off. Because,
it takes a lot to get fired without a well wish. And it's kind of like, you know, the last two people that happened to were Rich Swans and Enzo. And you saw the smoke involved around both of them. Like, you know, Rich Swann was champ, and then, potential domestic violence issue, bye. Like, first he got suspended, then it's like, you know, we're parting ways. Enzo was champ, and they had 205 built squarely around him. And then next thing you know, we're parting ways. Bye. Not, you know, hope you do well in the future. It's like, you know, see you later. Don't come back.
Yeah.
And now it's the same. And now it's the same thing with Kaz. It's like he just had a high profile feud with like Daniel freaking Bryan.
Yeah, you don't come back from an injury, and like you said. I guess I never really expected him to win that feud, which was kind of a weird reason to have that feud in the first place. Yeah, he lost twice to him on the way out the door. And like you said, in relatively clean fashion both times. And, you know, I guess he's not going to be missed, but yeah, like, it's kind of weird that the people that have been, how many people that have been put in really good spots have screwed up that spot in the recent past here.
Yeah, like, you heard all this talk about, you know, he's got a lot of supporters, because, you know, he's a handsome, big, tall guy that's in shape, and that's normally like, you know, you gotta damn near murder somebody to mess that up in WWE. And, you know, he got the push when they split up the team. Then he hurts his knee. And then he comes back, and like, in a high-profile feud with Daniel Bryan. He's getting mic time. And it was like he was getting over on SmackDown but kept losing on pay-per-views. And normally it's like just the reverse, because it's like, you know, Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan. But they still have that, you know, whole big man, little man stigma. And the fact that Daniel Bryan not only won, like, beat him, like, easy twice, it's kind of like Daniel Bryan should win easy, but you don't expect Daniel Bryan to win easy, because it's like that's not like a bum, that's big cast. And then you right. see this coming, it's like it got to be something behind the scenes. Like, you heard a lot of stuff. I know him and Carmella kind of broke up, and I know they blame the whole we're on different versus like we're on different shows, and like he's injured and he's that put a strain on a relationship and stuff. It's got to be something, like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Because I don't follow the inside stuff like I used to, but I know him being this big-time Blue Lives Matter, yada, yada, yada supporter was kind of right. rubbing a lot of people in the locker room the wrong way, because WWE locker room tends to be kind of funny. Like, it's like the people up top might be, like, you know, conservative. The wrestlers probably tend to be liberal if you look at their roster.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, and I think there's something to that, maybe just having to have been on the indie scene. I mean, obviously you have Finn Balor with his friendship shirt recently, and Sonya Deville. You know, they've actually mentioned her, Darren Young just getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah, like, it wasn't an accident where Sonya Deville went from I'm dressing like an MMA fighter to I'm rocking the rainbow colors and I'm like out the blue, and they didn't have an issue with that. And this is kind of like, you wouldn't have seen that in WWE maybe like five, six years ago. And nope. I can just imagine how Big Cass came over in the locker room where, I mean, AJ Styles and Randy Orton aside, you got Daniel Bryan, the Usos, the New Day, Mr. Rap loving Luke Harper himself, and all those other people. Was kind of like, yeah, that probably was like annoying. Like, no one want to hear this big goof talking all that mess.
Yeah, so I mean, it was always just those little stories, though. Like, there was nothing kind of like ever heavily, how can you say documented? That's a good word. But, obviously all those little things added up to him really being unceremoniously dispatched. And it's one of those things, too, where they have so much talent on their roster anyway, it's really hard to miss anyone in particular.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much you mishandle someone, like, I do know that I see Austin Aries carrying around belts for, like, every other championship that isn't the WWE.
Yeah.
But, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see if Big Cass goes somewhere else. Because one thing I guess I was surprised with him is that he entered developmental in 2011. I'm like, oh, man, is he really going to get that much better at this point if he's had 7 years?
I mean, I would just say this. I would never say never, because the fact that, you know, Pierre Carl Ouellette is one of the biggest indie guys on the scene in 2018, when I remember him, like, in the mid-90s, streaming with Bret Hart, it's like, you know, and you see what Bret Hart looks like now, so it's kind of like, you know, anything is possible. I don't know. Big guys tend to have mixed success on the indies. Like, you know, if you're big and you're not a wrestler, indie fans tend to be like, eh, that's not the style I like. I wouldn't be surprised if he teamed up with Enzo. No. Even though it's kind of like, and it's going to be people that's going to watch that for the whole train wreck thing.
Oh, right. For sure.
No, but I'm just trying to, I was laughing at people with the post, like, what type of name he's going to have. Big effing Cass, big ass. Like, try to find a way, you know, tall Cass. Like, I don't know. That whole gimmick was based off mic work and, like, talking.
Oh.
And just, the indies are different. Like, you know, the Hardys made it after they didn't make it.
Oh.
On the indie scene.
Yeah, you know, they Cody failed Rhodes, spectacularly.
It took Cody Rhodes a while to get... to get embraced like that. It's like, you know, some people make it and some people don't. And like I made a joke before, you can't, it's hard to be a bad wrestler and make money on the indie scene. Like, you know, it's just, and I made a joke about that with Enzo all the time. Like, you can't be short and out of shape and not be able to wrestle. Like, you can be, you gotta have something.
Right. Yeah, and there is probably a little bit more, at least in the upper echelon of the indies, a little more of a work rate thing than a mic work thing. So that really does hurt Enzo quite a bit.
Yeah, so, and like, big cast, like, just being tall isn't enough because, okay, you're tall. That's a W, even WWE's kind of moving away from that. Like, they don't have a lot of tall guys who can't wrestle. Like, they're, no. The few tall guys, they like, the big guys they have can all move in the ring. You're just a tall stiff. Like, so what? This isn't the days of Snitsky anymore.
Yeah, and speaking of one of those very large mobile guys, I've got to admit that I am somewhat surprised with Braun Strowman taking home the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people surprised. I'm like, is it because they thought he doesn't need it? I'm like, if he's in a match, we've seen him tip over trucks and pull down walls. Like, why wouldn't he win a ladder match? Like, he's run through ladders. Like, they've turned Braun Strowman into, like, a superhero. So,
well,
I wasn't that surprised that he won more than fact. Cause the only thing I kind of got was, like, you know, they want someone else to win it because they don't think Braun needs it, but not as far as, like, should he win that match?
Well, yeah. I guess I'm always surprised when, A, since it's a heel thing, Braun Strowman isn't really a heel, and he doesn't physically need it. Like, I mean, like you said, they've had him do everything. His only real loss is to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So, like, he really doesn't need the briefcase, which I guess is one of the reasons that I was surprised. But it also kind of made me go, oh, maybe they're finally going to go with Braun Strowman winning it. Like, because it's one of those things, and someone compared it, I saw, to Roman Reigns not beating Lesnar the second time. You know, Braun Strowman, I don't know if he's going to turn into Roman Reigns if he doesn't win it after this briefcase, but they had better crown him, or else I do think that there will be a crowd issue going forward.
I mean, it's much of an issue now. I think it's kind of like, it's perfect for him to have it, because that way Brock Lesnar can lose and be justified in losing. And you don't have to put it on Roman Reigns. Like, I could easily see him cashing it in after Roman and Brock have a match. And it's like, Braun Strowman doesn't need a title, but the fans want him to have the title. my only issue would be is like, what happens when he wins? Like, who's gonna beat him in a fair one? Like, seriously, like, if Brock's not there, it is. And I know Roman won in like street fights and ambulance matches, anything like that, but it's like, there's no way in hell you're gonna have Roman Reigns beat Braun Strowman, like, if you really like Roman Reigns. And it's nobody else, with maybe the exception of like Lashley, that's like, okay, if they have a fair fight, I can see this guy winning. Because it's not going to, you know, I know him and Finn Balor are buddies. I don't know how the hell that became a thing. But there's no way in the world you can, like, convince me Finn Balor beats Braun Strowman unless he ran over Braun Strowman with a truck first.
Hey, yeah, I mean, they have had really great chemistry in matches recently. But, yeah, like, in a full-fledged feud, it would just be like, oh, come on, man. Well, and Braun Strowman has still won those well-contested matches anyway. So,
yeah. I mean, I can see them using that more kind of like, if we need to get the belt off Brock Lesnar, and this is the best way to do it, but it runs into the problem where the same problem they have with Brock Lesnar, like, you book them so well, you don't believe somebody beat, like, they ran the same problem with Brock. Yeah. When Brock first came, they had him beat everybody. And it got to the point where, unless you're Kurt Angle or the Big Show with a chair, you couldn't see somebody beating Brock one-on-one in a fair fight. Brock wasn't even, like, pulling down walls, like, behind a commando. Like, they got Braun Strowman like he's an Avenger.
Like, right. Agreed.
He's beating up two and three people. He beat the tag team champs by himself with an eight-year-old kid. And it wasn't like it was a raggedy tag team champs. Like, it was Cesaro and Sheamus who were beating everybody. And he just dominated them. Like, he beats up multiple people by himself. You can really see. I know, like, you know, Seth Rollins is HBK now, and they got a lot of people on Raw. But it's like, yeah, it's, you got Braun as the champ. Braun ain't losing unless he slip on, like, four banana peels.
Yeah, the WWE seems very adept at people slipping on banana peels these days, because, well, I was going to say, Braun really hasn't been pinned too much. He's lost matches in which he's involved because he's slipped on banana peels, which are more tag team situations. But, yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of banana peels for Nia Jax to slip on, that's for damn sure.
The thing with Nia Jax is, one, you can use the excuse of kind of like she's inexperienced. And then even then, when she's slipped on banana peels, like, it's been in multiple person matches. Like, the only people that can stand up to her one-on-one has been Asuka and, like, Ronda Rousey. Like, Asuka's, like, the best one of the best women wrestlers on the planet. And Ronda Rousey is Kurt Angle in booty shorts. Like... Do people not realize how amazing it is? Like, I know she's had a lot of practice stuff behind the scenes. She's had two televised matches, and they've both been, like, very good matches. Like, that's unheard of. Like, that was her first singles televised match with Nia. It wasn't like she was wrestling Charlotte or Natalya. She was wrestling Nia Jax. Nia Jax isn't, like, a ring general. And they had a very good big woman, little woman match. And I'm watching Ronda Rousey, like, once, I know people make fun of her for, like, her clunky promos and her smiling all the time when she comes out. When that ring goes off, something clicks. Like, she really knows how to do this whole pro wrestler thing.
That's why, in some ways, what was that comment that I made? Oh, you were talking about Alexa Bliss. Because it's one of those comparison things to me. Obviously, I'm okay with Alexa Bliss holding the belt as the women's champ, because her mic skills are so good. And her in-ring skills aren't that bad, but it is still crazy that she has not had, in my memory, a memorable wrestling match. But Ronda Rousey is 2 for 2 in memorable wrestling matches.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
I'm watching, like, she's doing a crossbody. I'm like, that's an awesome looking, like, at first you see, you know, and the way she did is kind of like, I've never been on the top rope before. I'm nervous. I hope I do it right. And then she busts out a crossbody like she's Ricky Steamboat. Like, she got a lot of air off that move. And what I like about Ronda Rousey is she wrestles like somebody that really knows how to fight. Like, and she tells in a way for her to match the wrestling. That judo throw was amazing that she hit on Nia Jax. And I'm like, the fact that she did it and Nia Jax didn't break her neck is kind of like, because I'm watching it and I'm like, what is she trying to do? And then she's like, test a little bit, like, can I get her over? And then she just judo tossed her. And I'm like, it's simple stuff. Like, she's just doing, like, you know, a running knee, a punching somebody in the face. Like, that match had you believe, like, this little itty-bitty girl can beat up Nia Jax, because it's kind of like, she's got that thing like Kurt Angle has where they're not the biggest person, but they're just so damn strong, it doesn't matter who in the ring with. And when Alexa cashed in, I was like, oh, this is just perfect. Because it's like, you know, you don't want Ronda to win too quickly, because, like, I don't think they're ready for her to have the title. I wasn't expecting it, but once it happened, I'm like, this is perfect. Alexa's just great on the mic anyway, so it kind of hides her ring short. It's not like she's bad wrestling. It's just she's been champion for a lot of times, and she's never been the best wrestler in her matches at all. I was laughing at Monday, like that whole Monday segment, because one, Alexa was talking that trash, and two, Ronda Rousey was doing a street fights like this with Roadhouse. Like, one, you know how most people do, like, the double leg takedown? Yeah. She just sweeps her leg. I'm like, that's so simple and it's perfect. Kurt Angle rushes her and that one-arm judo toss. I'm like, I don't know how. I watched, like, six. I'm like, how did she do that? Like, I'm still watching, like, you know, because Kurt Angle's not a slouch. And she just reached over and just one-armed him and just slung him. And then,
yeah,
I have never seen, and my favorite one, I have never seen this before except for playing Street Fighter, when Alexa swung the briefcase and Ronda got down on one knee and punched her. I'm like, she did a ducking forward punch like this is Street Fighter 2. I have never seen that before. Like, she just got on one knee and just punched her in the stomach. I'm like, that's so damn effective.
Hey, yeah, I guess I've got to wonder if she learned some of that. I mean, she's had a number of, obviously, fighting roles in movies. Like you said, like, her presentation and just, like, how she actually... Because that was the funniest thing, is that everyone's like, oh, she's going to be able to talk. It shouldn't be a problem. You know, she has a great presence. What she's going to do in the ring... The in-the-ring stuff has really been the bright spot for her in the WWE. Yeah. Like you said, like, that move is just, like, it's super effective. She just dropped below the shot and then hit her in the stomach. Like, it just makes sense. And, again, you believe it. She was in the UFC. She obviously throws a proper punch. That always helps, too. I've got to admit that she obviously throws very real punches.
Yeah. You know what? It's so weird watching her throw punches because it reminds me of Shane McMahon. Like, people make fun of Shane's punches. I'm like, Shane punches look sloppy, but he's always hurting people because he's really punching them. Ronda's look weird because it's not a wrestling punch. It's like a real, like, how you really throw a punch. She's just, like, not hitting it, like, 100%. So it just looks off. Because nobody else does it. But then you watch, like, her stuff looks effective. Like, you know, when she kicks somebody, it's not like she's pretending to kick somebody. No, she's donkey kicking somebody square in the face. Like, she was beating the crap out of those refs. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, they turned it like the best of Ken Shamrock and Steve Austin. Like, they haven't had a woman babyface badass before.
Oh. Yeah. And that segment kind of helps nail it down, the one this past Monday, just because, I mean, as predictable as it is for her to get some off time, because she really doesn't need to be there all the time like Brock, but I do hope she's there at least more frequently than he is.
Yeah, I'm sure she will be. Like, she's enjoying herself. The crowd is definitely behind her. I think that was the biggest worry people had. It's like, you know, would a crowd turn on her because they don't think she earned the spot? And it's like, she's going to these hardcore, smarty art, like, fan bases, and they are 100% behind her. Like, it's just, she's got something. Like, she's got something special. You can see enough about her. It's like, imagine how good she'll be a year from now.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the crazy thing is, yeah, she's this good. Everyone was worried about her not being this good, but she really seems great at it already. And experience is only going to help.
Yeah, and they're in a position where they want her to succeed, and they'll do her best to make sure she succeeds, because she's making them a lot of money, and she's making good money, so it works. And it's just funny to see her contrast. Like, and I was thinking about the women champ, like all three women champions are heels, but they're heels in like completely different ways. Like Shayna Baszler, NXT, she's the bully that can fight. Whereas, like, you know, she backs up, but it's like you want to see her lose, but you respect it because she's good. And you got to be a good heel in NXT to get booed.
Oh,
man. Because most of the time, like, most of the heels in NXT do not get booed at takeover shows. It's like, they cool, I like them. She gets booed by everybody. Like, she is so. She's what Baron Corbin should have been. You know, like, it's just something about her, like, just so. I don't know if it's like her style. Like, that mean, square face she always making, like, or, you know, a submission wrestler always kind of looks at this like she's just a bully. And it helps that she's beating up people that's, like, smaller than her anyway. Like, you know, that match with Nikki Cross was hilarious. Because I never saw somebody smile when they're getting choked out. Except for watching 50 Shades of Grey. So that was that was something new. Of course, you talk about, like, Alexa Bliss. Like, you know, she's just a bitch that can talk her ass off and she wins. Carmella is the funny one, because I was talking to, like, with Steve and other people, and I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, she reminds me, and we talked about last, she reminds me of the villain from Super Mario Brothers, where she's a heel, but she's not mean-spirited. Like, she's not evil. She's just, like, obnoxious.
She's and I guess in some ways I was thinking that Bliss and her have similar gimmicks earlier, just because they kind of pat themselves on the back a little too much. But Bliss really does back it up. Like we've said, like, she's not terrible in the ring, so she does back it up in the ring and has won more legitimate matches than Carmella has to this point.
But you know what's funny you say that? And I was thinking about that, I'm like, Carmella beat Asuka and Charlotte clean. Like, just think about that. And it's like, you watch those matches, it's like, it's no way in hell she should hang with either one of them. And then the match is over, it's like, she won. And it wasn't like, you know, she rolled the tight, she rolled a small package of front of ropes, like, she pinned them. Like, that Charlotte match, like, Charlotte made a mistake, and she beat her. The Asuka match, like, you know, James Ellsworth coming out of nowhere was just surprising, because it's like, I know people made jokes like, it'd be funny if Ellsworth came out, but nobody was thinking Ellsworth was going to come out. But as soon as I saw the person with the robe, I'm like, okay, those forearms are way too big to be a woman. It's got to be James Ellsworth. And it's like, her whole gimmick is, I'm awesome, I'm better, I beat you fair and square, and you get mad, and it's like, well, yeah, she did kind of win, like, this borderline cheating, but, like, she didn't cheat. And it's the whole thing, it's like, you know, it's like the honky-tonk match she won. And it's just weird where you got this heel that has no business. Like, when JBL was winning, he was cheating to win. Like, Carmella's not cheating. She's just winning. It's like, it's sneaky, but that's the thing that threw me off the most. Like, and it wasn't like she's just beating Joe Blow. She beat Charlotte and Asuka. Like, you know, women roll. Like, Charlotte is basically, like, you know, royalty in WWE Divas. And Asuka didn't lose for, like, 2 years. And she beat them back to back. Like, I made the joke, like, you know, Ronda Rousey better stay away from Carmella. She's gonna catch that first loss too.
I would be pretty shocked if that would happen.
I would laugh my ass off.
Oh, like, no. Yeah.
Because I know people are like, why does she have the briefcase? Are people like, are they second guessing her winning? And it's like, she became over purely from talking. Like, when she got the SmackDown, she had a feud with Nikki Bella and then all this stuff on Talking Smack. Like, it was just personal. Like, she just, it wasn't ring work. She was just talking and talking and talking, and her and Ellsworth talking. It's like, she got over from promo skills. And she comes out now, and it's like, she's annoying, like, really annoying, but likable annoying. Like, you can't even get that mad at her because she just seems like she's having so much fun being her. Like, look at me. I'm the champ. I'm the champ. I beat Charlotte Flair. Let me tell you, how many times I'm going to tell you, I beat Charlotte Flair fair and square. I'm better than Beyonce. I'm better than Serena Williams. Like, Oprah never beat Charlotte Flair. I beat Charlotte Flair. And it sounds so damn dumb, but it's like, she can back it up. She shouldn't look like she can back it up, but she can. And that's what's just so funny about it.
Yeah, I guess she does have some credibility within within the realm of wrestling. Like you said, they've definitely been under some interesting circumstances or wins. But yeah, there hasn't been any outright chicanery. So, yeah. but that's another thing. To me, James Ellsworth coming back and him having a job again, and Big Cass losing his job, is just one of those things that you just go, who would have thought this was going to happen to?
Hey, networking is important. Like, making an impression will get you places. That's basically what it shows. So, like, it's funny when you thought about that whole Braun Strowman challenge. It started with, you know, this whole, you know, any man with two hands can have a drink. Whatever that promo he said, I remember he did that. And we all laughed. And look at him now. Like, you know, he got an action figure. He got matches with AJ Styles. He had a run. It's like, okay, nice run. He left. And now he's back. Somebody that looks like him is like, has a job in WWE. It's like, WWE's in a weird, like, wrestling itself's in a weird place. Like, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. So, like, the fact that one, like, NXT has a UK show now, and they got new tag team champions. Kenny Omega showing up on WWE Network. Like, all that stuff with them in the New Day. Triple H talking about, oh, sure, you know, if circumstances fit, we could work with New Japan. And all that TNA footage on that Hardy show. And I'm like, what universe are we in?
Like, yeah, I haven't seen all of this stuff yet because I still haven't even watched Being the Elite that had the New Day on it, because I'm just like, okay, this is getting weird. Like, Jimmy Jacobs just got fired, like, what, 6 months ago for for taking
a Bullet Club shirt,
for wearing a Bullet Club shirt and taking a picture with the same guys that basically they just had on their own network. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, I'm on Twitter, and then one day WWE talking about, Xavier Woods challenged Kenny Omega to Street Fighter, and Kenny's not coming alone, he's there with the Young Bucks. And I'm reading this on WWE.com, I'm like, what? No, New Japan, yada yada yada, part of the Elite and the Bullet Club? And I'm like, what universe are we in? It wasn't too long ago they got pissed that Cody Rhodes and them showed up, you know, taking pictures during Raw.
Oh.
And now it's this thing, it's like, oh, you know, here's stuff about Kenny Omega, Bex, you know, like, hitting Jim. We got him in, like, OVW or something. I'm like, okay. I know there's rumors that they're trying to sign him, but this is just weird. Like, I'm watching this whole thing, and I'm like, we went from, they didn't even, you didn't exist if you was in WWE, to, oh, we interviewed Dixie Carter. We interviewed the DA agents that raided Jeff Hardy's house. Let's show TNA. Let's show TNA footage like it's no thing. And I guess getting all that Fox money is like, you know what? What's the point of arguing this nonsense? We got enough money for everybody. But it's just weird where you just see stuff you hadn't seen before. Like, you know, we acknowledge other companies. Here's the stuff they did to these things. Let's go for it. Let's all make this money. And I would not be surprised. Like, I made a joke. I guess if I'm watching Survivor Series and like damn Okada came in and like running during a Roman Reigns match, I wouldn't even be that surprised.
Yeah,
like at this point, it's kind of like wrestling is just so damn weird. Where like all this stuff happened, like you know, New Japan had a match with Jushin Liger, Rey Mysterio, Tanahashi, and they lost to Cody Rhodes. And that's not even the weirdest thing that happened this year. I'm like, that's hey, wrestling is this strange in this beautiful way where everybody is making money, everybody's doing well, and you know, you see stuff on ESPN like Charlotte's gonna be in the ESPN body issue.
Right.
And I'm like, that's, you know, I read about, I can go on ESPN, and before it's like, you know, they talked about WWE. They talk about everybody now in wrestling. Like, they talked about New Japan stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, wrestling is mainstream. I see Lana and Rusev in a Snickers commercial, and there's no big thing. The Rock was in a Chef Boyardee commercial, and they spent, that was like a 20-minute segment on Raw when that happened.
Yeah, wrestling is in a really, really strange spot, and it's pretty fun, to be honest with you, because I mean, I do remember, and now it's something that I don't think about, because I was making fun of, like, Forbes covering wrestling, but at this point, it's just like, oh, okay, whatever, like, I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that PG thing worked. Like, everybody complained about that, and everybody say, you know, Stephanie McMahon cleaning up the act and everything like that. Like, they get more ad money now than UFC does. And before, that was, like, the reverse with the quickness. Like, the whole thing was like, you know, we can't touch wrestling. It's too toxic. They just watch this show, don't watch anything else. And now it's like, you know, people trust the brand. They keep stuff clean. It's family fun. Like, that, it, whatever they did behind the scene, that whole sports entertainment, we're just family fun, it worked. Because how the hell else did they get all that money from Fox? Like, Fox bent over backwards. Like, you know what? USA didn't appreciate you. We're going to appreciate you. We're going to hype you. We're going to market you. Whatever you want, Vince. Here's $1 billion for the show that Rusev is the number one contender in. Here you go. And it's just like, wow. Like, speaking of that, congratulations to Rusev for finally getting a title shot. Like, you know, this whole Rusev Day thing, I was wondering, like, are they ever going to pull the trigger or is it going to be too late? And it's like, he's going to wrestle AJ Styles for the world title. Wow.
And I guess that's another one, like, because Braun Strowman is a fan favorite that didn't seem to have a path to the title. And I guess you could say that Rusev is his counterpart. Although maybe not quite as long-running and definitely not as flamboyant in his car flipping overs. But Rusev has been really popular for a solid, dare I say,
six months at least.
Yeah, I was going to say, dare I say a year? But yeah, definitely 6 months. Because I'm trying to remember, because the last show that I went to here in Columbus, he was so over, and that was a couple of months ago at least. He put on good matches with John Cena, so I have no reason to believe that him and AJ Styles can't put on some good matches here in the future.
Oh, I think they're going to wrestle their ass off. AJ Styles is AJ Styles. And I think Rusev going to come in with like a lot to prove. Like, I finally got my chance. I'm going to show y'all like you gave my chance a long time ago. And the whole big man, little man thing always works. Because, like, Rusev is a big, like, you forget how big Rusev is because he's just so agile. But Rusev's a big, stocky man. And it's like, that's just going to, I think they're going to have an excellent match. And I'm looking forward to having that match. And I'm like, I'm just glad that Rusev got the chance because it's kind of like he got over by himself. And they could have easily just, like, you know, ignored it or killed it. Like, it did not go away. It went mainstream. Like, when you got Wendy's and sports team talking about, you know, today isn't the start of NFL playoffs. Today is also Rusev Day. It's like, yeah. Give him a title match. Like, make money from that.
Yeah, and that is kind of the funny thing sometimes about some of these things. Because, yeah, the Rusev Day thing being mentioned again in, like, a mainstream kind of way, like, I'm almost surprised that it, you know, it hasn't happened before now. The Predators have them on all the time. I mean, along with Eric Young, too. They do love their super fans down there. You know, they really get a lot of recognition. So it's kind of surprising because The Miz got in his spot because of how much recognition he brings to the WWE.
Yeah, I forgot because I'm like game three of the NBA Finals. They had The Miz hyping the crowd up. Like, he was doing, like, the pregame speech, like, you know, this is Cleveland-born, let's go Cavs, and the crowd was in. So I'm like, you forget, like, The Miz is a big damn deal. Like, mainstream-wise, it's kind of like, you know, forget about the whole real-world stuff. It's like, he's been doing it for a long time, and he's, like, he's popular, not just wrestling popular. Like, people who don't watch wrestling, a lot of them kind of know who The Miz is. It's still amazing that they do, but, like, he's reached that whole I'm famous outside wrestling thing. Like, Rusev is kind of getting there, like a cult way, because it's like, well, why did Rusev Day become a thing? It's just, you know, it's just goofy. And it just, it's funny what clicks. And him and Aiden English, like, that's...
Yeah, no one saw that coming.
Sometimes things just work in wrestling. And they just went, you know, like Fashion Police being a thing, like that was just goofy as hell, and that somehow made it. It's like sometimes, you know, it's not the best laid plans, it's just stuff that's happened by accident, and it's just one of those things where it happened, and it kept on happening and going. Like, you know, SmackDown is clicking on all, like, awesome, like that Gauntlet match was awesome, everybody played their roles, the Hilt. Big E's going to have to get a title run sooner or later. Like, and I know enough people kind of say that, like, you forget how good the New Day are as singles wrestlers because they do the whole tag team thing, but it's like, Kofi had a great showing at the pay-per-view, Big E wrestled his ass off, hanging toe-to-toe with Daniel Bryan, and you just, like, forget, it's just amazing how they got all these big guys that just move so fast.
I do like that with New Day, they are certainly moving them in a singles direction. And I think all of them could sustain it. Like, I do like the idea of having a group that can also be separated and not need to have them feud. So, but yeah, Big E... I guess he's another one similar to Rusev. Like, just his size alone and his athletic ability, and he's never struck me as, oh man, that was a terrible match that he just had. Like, he's always very entertaining in his matches. Like, I can't believe that he hasn't gotten more than he's gotten at this point in some ways, like in a singles capacity.
Yeah, I know the reason why. It's because they wanted him to be like Mark Henry. He's a goofball. Like, he can get, like, he's a natural, like, they want him to be the tough muscle guy. Like, it's not him personality-wise. And I think that's throwing the people off. Like, it's hard we see somebody that looks like that, that doesn't, like, he's tough, he just doesn't act tough. And... that's just never clicked with WWE. Like, they just look at this, like, you know, Big E's good enough to have main event matches, but I don't think personality-wise you're going to have this big smiling, like, goofball in the main event. Even though it's like, when he wants to be serious, he can cut the serious promo. It's just they looked at him as one way, and he's not that, and it just kind of throw him off. But no, like, SmackDown is just so loaded with people, and you just, like, watch that. And... Hill Nakamura brings me so much joy. I was laughing my ass off at his promo and his promo skills. Like, you know, the only reason I lost is because they counted too fast and they didn't count in Japanese. And I'm just saying, like, this damn prick. And I can't even get mad at him because he's just so entertaining. Like, Nakamura is just an asshole just to be one, but he's so funny that you can't boo him, even though you should.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I guess that's what's so hard, and it seems like in wrestling these days is that even when you're a dick, like, everyone seems to be really entertaining when they deliver their lines when they're doing this stuff, and it just makes them likable, you know, and it makes it really hard to root against the bad guy, even though he's doing something that's bad.
Yeah, like I feel bad for Renee Young because she got to keep dealing with this nonsense. But it's like, you know, oh no, I speak, like, because he has, like, you know, how you feel about your loss? He's like, loss? And he's like, oh, you playing this whole, you don't speak English? Like, oh, I speak English. Like, I didn't really lose. The only reason AJ won, because they counted too fast and they did it Japanese. And the crowd's laughing. Like, they love AJ Styles, and they're just, like, they're laughing because, like, he's so, his delivery, like, he's just so sleepy out, it's funny. And then the stuff with Jeff Hardy, like, yeah. Jeff Hardy come out with this stupid face paint, talking about, you know, his eyes open. If he cross me again, I'm going to close his eyes for real. Like, he basically say, like, you know, I'm going to, you keep messing with me, I'm going to kick you in the damn head. And the crowd's cheering. And it's like, they like AJ Styles. They like Jeff Hardy. Nakamura's out there just being a damn jerk and hitting people in the nuts. But he's so damn funny that people like him even though they shouldn't like him. Oh, speaking of that, you know that whole WWE mobile game, like the Jewel game? They show the commercial sometimes?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like, they had that, and they made a joke about Nakamura hitting people. Like, they had Nakamura hit somebody low blow, like it's like a WWE Tetris game. So it's like, yeah, a family game with, you know, you can low blow somebody while playing Tetris. It's new. Like, WWE is in on the joke with Nakamura. Like, WWE is just so damn funny and, like, weird in a good way. Like, you know, Carl Anderson somehow got abs. And he's just like, look at me, I got in shape. And guy was like, yeah, I'm going to take my shirt off. You got enough ass ropes. And I'm like, when did, I had watched wrestling a little bit, like, when did Carl Anderson look like Finn Balor all of a sudden?
Well, I think that maybe they were told, and this is just purely speculation on my part, that maybe the drinking shows with Chris Jericho weren't the best things for their careers. I could be wrong. I could be, but maybe they were gently told, hey, maybe stop fucking around and drinking on podcasts and we'll push you. Chris Jericho is Chris Jericho and we can't really do anything about that. But,
but it's hard to get abs in like a month. When you're that old, you're on the road. It's like, if it was easy, everybody would have abs. Like, I remember what Carl Anderson looked like, and then one day I'm watching SmackDown, I'm like, Carl Anderson has a damn 10-pack. When did that happen? How did that happen? And it's like,
I do think it's happened over maybe about 3 or 4 months.
It seemed like it just came out of nowhere. Like, one day he looked like how he always looked, and then the next day it's like, I'm too sweet. Look at my crunches. So, but well, kudos to him, because it worked. Like, you know, it's definitely noticeable when you see somebody that size. And, like, I'm glad they're getting matches. Like, they had a good match with the Bludgeon Brothers. It's just funny you see these two matches, these two big teams that can kind of move. Jeremy loves those type of matches because he loves watching monster fights. And I was thinking about him watching that. I was shocked that the Bludgeon Brothers, like, did something to Daniel Bryan. I'm like, I know they had beef when during the Wyatt family, but that was a long time ago. Like, and it's funny they foreshadowed it. Like, you know, their match ended, Daniel Bryan came out, and they're just looking at each other. I'm like, okay, what's this about? And then they came out later and just powerbombed them.
Yeah, I like you said, I sat there and I'm like, man, it's always weird when they have someone come out during someone else's exit from the ring. And it just seemed, because most of the times you're like, oh, these two people are feuding, it makes sense. Because this was, I'm supposing, the beginning of a feud of some sort, I was a little confused that Daniel Bryan came out when they were walking to the back. You know, it's just like, why didn't he wait until after they got out?
Yeah. SmackDown will do that every now and then. Like, they'll have one match and then another match start. But normally they don't interact with each other. Like, you know, a team will just somehow just leave and somehow just come out. And this was like, they had an interaction. I'm like, I know they're not Kane not coming back, so what was the point? Like, unless he's going to be a tag team partner, it's just weird. A singles wrestler that caliber feuding with the tag team champs, he doesn't have like a natural partner. Because who would be Daniel Bryan's partner?
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Because I'm like, are they bringing? I was like, they can't be bringing back Kane. Like, it was the first thought in my head, as it should have been for pretty much any wrestling fan. So, yeah, I don't know, especially, yeah, it's really weird, because you could definitely have him feud with The Miz after what The Miz did to him in the gauntlet match, which was another kind of brilliant thing, too, which makes it hard to root against the heels when they're just given fine opportunities. Yeah.
Well, like, as soon as that happened, you knew exactly where it's leading to. Like, of course, The Miz is going to come out and pin him. And, like, Daniel Bryan making those jokes, like, you know, I'm feuding with three of the greatest people in the company. And Renee Young's like, well, you forgot to mention The Miz. He's like, so I mentioned three of the greatest wrestlers in the company. Like, yeah, you can't be cracking jokes like that and then not expect to get what's coming to you when something like that happens. So it was a sneaky thing, but Daniel Bryan kind of, you run your mouth, you got to back it up. And sometimes you get jumped by two people in goat masks with hammers.
Yeah, so I guess it'll be interesting to see who they end up, who he ends up teaming with. Because there's no way, like, even though he obviously pretty much like 75% of the matches that he's in are some type of David versus Goliath situation, he's got to get some type of backup because he's not taking on both of them at the same time.
Yeah. I would say Jeff Hardy, but Jeff Hardy's distracted with Nakamura.
Oh.
Randy Orton is the only person I could think of that's like a big enough name to do that, like when he's done with his vacation. Although, you're talking about weird teams. It's like, yeah, they did feud for a while on Raw, like Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. It wasn't that long ago, like when Randy Orton was head of Authority. But, you know, bygones be bygones, things like that. And it would be funny because Randy Orton has issues with, like, Harper and Rowan, too, with the Wyatt family. So that would kind of fit. Like, if they want to take that route, they could take it. It's just weird where they got a lot of tag teams on SmackDown as it is. So why have them feud with somebody that's not a natural tag team?
Yeah, I don't. That's the other interesting thing, because as soon as I saw, because I think that the Gallows and Anderson match was announced earlier in the day, I'm like, what's going on with this thing? Like, why are they getting a rematch this soon? I was like, if they're continuing the feud, why are they having another match tonight? Like, I'd expect maybe another singles match or some such shenanigans to, you know, get the club back into the picture, or at least, you know, enough to give them another run at them. But it was a clean loss, and then the Usos definitely seem like they're going to have more time with the finally debuting Sanity.
Yeah, I saw that the other one. They finally debuted, they don't even have a match. It's just it, like, they got announced, and then they just never showed up. It's like, Sanity coming soon. And we're like, when? That got announced in April. It's almost July. And it's like, they hadn't showed up. Then it's like, I saw on TV, it's like, oh, they're actually here coming up next. I'm like, that's odd. And then it showed up and just beat up the Usos.
Yeah, like, so I mean, that's at least two tag teams that could be in the tag team title hunt that are not going to be there. I mean, I guess it'd be weird. I do believe they're presenting Sanity as heels again. So it'd be kind of weird to have them go against the Bludgeon Brothers anyway. But in a lot of ways, it makes sense since they'd have, you know, an odds evener with the third person involved.
Yeah. Well, like I'll say, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that. Like, you know, SmackDown has a lot of, you know, buns in the oven. Tennessee, they can kind of pick and choose who they have feuds with. One more, like, we didn't really talk about NXT too much with TakeOver. That Velveteen Dream Ricochet match, I love on so many levels. One, Velveteen's tights and coming out and doing the whole Hulk Hogan thing while wearing Prince Puma tights is just like, Velveteen Dream is special. Like, it's something about, like, he's, I don't know what it is, but it's kind of like, both of them are special in different ways, because Velveteen Dream hasn't wrestled that long. It's like, he can wear those tights, and he's like 5-6 inches taller than Ricochet. And those tights fit. I'm like, yeah, like, that's, he's got a dancer's waistline. Like, it's amazing where you, like, how athletic he is, how much, you know, ring savvy. Like, he knows his character. And it's like, you like him even though you shouldn't. Like, and I saw him on Tough Enough, and I didn't think anything of him at all. And I remember when he first showed up, and I'm like, what in the world is this? Like, the name is dumb. The music was silly. And I'm like, this just looks goofy. But he has so much charisma, he can back it up. And he's a super damn athlete. Ricochet's not human. Like, let's just get that out the way. Like, I remember him in Lucha Underground. So, I remember watching. I'm like, the things he can do at his size is, like, Neville's probably the only person that can probably hang with him. Like, pound for pound, can do all that stuff. Like, Ricochet's insane. Like, the stuff he does. And, like, he makes it look so damn easy.
Hey, yeah, I had not had that much, since I did not get Lucha Underground, I've had very limited, like, YouTube, probably not even YouTube, but, short clips on Twitter, probably, of Ricochet. The amount of athleticism there is just mind-boggling. Because when he did standing running moonsault in that match, like, I guess I remember, the only person to me that does it that effortlessly is Evan Bourne and Matt Sydal. But Ricochet is way more organized. He's a bigger guy than Sydal is. Like, I mean, he's not huge, obviously. But, I mean, he is... that match was... probably one of the best things over the weekend. Like, that whole NXT show to me was just almost completely over the top. You know, it's one of those things that's just like, maybe I should stop watching the stuff that's actually on TV and start worrying about NXT more.
NXT is perfect where they use this storyline to build the matches so the matches mean more. It's like, they do a good job of making every, like, they normally have 4 to 5 matches. They spend enough time to make those matches important. They tell you the reason why it's important. And then just have an important match. Like, it's not a mistake that a lot of people know the vibe for that match was like Hogan Rock for Mania. And just think about these two, like, basically small cruiserweight guys, and that's the vibe you get. It's like, that wasn't my accident. Like, you hear a lot about, when you hear about Ricochet, they compare him to The Rock, and it doesn't make sense until you see him. It's like, he doesn't have the mic skills yet. He's got something. Like, it's something there where it's like, you can tell he's special. And I did laugh when they was like, I forgot what show it was on NXT. Like, he came out and he had, like, shoes with, like, you know, the the small ankle socks.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, it's one thing I came out here looking for. And the crowd was chanting, like, you know, where's your socks? And he was like, not my socks. People started laughing. He went on tour like, you know, I had on ankle-less socks. I did not go shoeless. Like, let me live. Like, he just laughed it off. It's just so natural. Like, he's got something special. And the fact where he's not a big guy, but he can, like, deadlift 270-pound wrestlers like it's no thing. Like, he's not one of those itty-bitty cruiserweights where all I can do is flip. Like, I can flip and still, like, wrestle a match. And it's a shame Neville's not there anymore because that would have been an awesome feud. It was like, he's basically like Neville, but smaller than Neville was, and still doing the same thing. Like, that match was good. The Aleister Black, Lars Sullivan match was, you know, way better than I thought it'd be because, like, you know, big monster, little guy. We talked about the woman match. I saw parts of the tag match. I heard how great it was. That Gargano-Ciampa match was like, that's the first time I realized, like, yeah, the ring is hard. They talk about all the time, like, the ring, like, not being, like, it's not a gym mat. It's not wrestling on cotton cans. Like, yeah, they're wrestling on a tree. Like, they pulled the mat over. It's like, that's just plywood. You're taking suplexes and power bombs on wood.
Hey, well, yeah, the top part was, it looked like two buys. I was a little surprised. I'm like, oh, it isn't plywood? I was like, huh, interesting. I suppose I don't know if they have plywood under there or not, but I was a little shocked that it was two buys. but still, yeah, like, there is a little somewhat thin mat, the canvas, and then two buys, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like...
Yeah, like, imagine taking a bump on an oak tree. I'm like, damn. Like, it never, I knew the ring was hard because people talked about it, but it never sunk in until that time. Like, the first thing I thought about was, like, Sasha Banks is going to kill herself. She's doing that stupid bumps on that. Like, that's the first thing I thought about when I saw that. I thought about Sasha Banks. But no, that match was just awesome because it built to the whole storyline. And then it's like the fact where... Gargano, I made it like this Game of Thrones. Gargano had the match won, and he's like Oberyn Martell. He just kept on keeping on. He didn't know when to leave well enough alone, and he's messing with the refs. He's messing with security, all this stuff, and then he gets DD'd. Like, I'm thinking that people thought the match was over. Like, they about to carry him on the stretcher like that, and then he gets DDT'd on the plywood with handcuffs on. So...
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah.
That ending was just really... I don't know why I want to call it disappointing in some ways. I guess I don't care who won, but it just seems really... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I just saw some hockey news that made me laugh even more. Oh, okay. Did you read about Matt Hoffman's fiance harassing his teammate's wife after their child was stillborn?
Oh my God, man. No, I did not, but what the hell?
Yeah, well, he got traded to San Jose, and then San Jose's like, nah, he's too toxic. We're moving them too. Oh, man. That is just... And plus, he got traded for a bag of peanuts. Otto was like, we don't care what we're getting here. We just need to get rid of this chump.
Yeah, like... It's just funny. That says a lot when it's like, you get traded for nothing. And then people are like, well, we rather have the nothing than this bozo right here. Like, and... No, the last hockey news I was hearing about was, like, the whole Barry Trotz thing, because it's kind of like, you know, oh, if you win a Stanley Cup, you get two more years on the salary, not thinking he went, you know, on his contract, not thinking they're going to win the Stanley Cup, and then when it's like, hey, yeah, I want to make a little bit more money, so thanks for no thanks. I'm out. And that's, like, I know Keenan left after he went in the Stanley Cup. But most of the time, like, people leave, like, they retire. Like, Bowman, you know, it's not like, oh, you want a Stanley Cup, what you going? I got to update my resume.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. I'm like, man, this is going to suck. Trotz is going to stay in Washington. Like, after they won, I'm like, oh, Trotz is going to stay in Washington. And then they're like, no, we decided not to offer him a raise after he just won the Stanley Cup finally. Huh?
I'm like, of can course, you, Washington. Like,
can you be like, more Washington than that?
I'm like, this isn't like this is some juggernaut team that's just used to rings. Like, they... Washington is known for choking. You finally win a Stanley Cup, and that's the first thing you do is like, yeah, that's cool, but we gotta worry about money. We can't set a bad precedent. What precedent, you dum-dums? Like, I just laughed when I saw that news. I'm like, yeah. I'm just imagining, like, the Eagles, like, Doug Peterson finally wins a Super Bowl for the Eagles. They're like, you know what? We can't afford you. So...
you out here
CBS in the booth and get back to us. Like, they burned that damn, if they did, they burned that damn stadium to the ground. So yeah, I saw that and just laughed. Like, of course it'd be the Capitals. Like, as you as a Penguins fan and me as a Flyers fan, I can just say, like, you know, the Flyers do some silly stuff, but they don't do nothing that damn dumb.
Yeah, I mean, That really is just, like I said, that's kind of classic Capitals. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, the only reason they probably didn't win the Stanley Cup one of the last 2 years is because of the Penguins. If they had gotten past the Penguins, they probably would have won it in either of those years.
Yeah,
it's
funny. Like, if it wasn't for the Penguins, they probably would have already had like at least two titles by now. And now they finally got one by overcoming the Penguins. And like, oh well, you know, this thing easy. We can do it anybody. That's like WWE. Like, it don't matter who's in the main event, we'll still make money. That's why you see Roman Reigns over and over again.
I was going to ask you if you thought that his promo this week was worthy of one of your appearances on our show.
No, I'm actually sympathetic toward Roman Reigns at this point, because that whole stuff that happened at the pay-per-view was just obnoxious. Like, I have... Because what's the damn point? Like, I heard people defend, like, oh, they mad because, you know, CM Punk, you know, got sued by WWE doctor, that verdict happened, and nobody wants to see Roman Reigns, so we're going to ruin the show. Like, you know, he's wrestling Jinder Mahal in the mid-card. Who cares? Like, that whole, like, what spot is he taking wrestling Jinder Mahal in the mid-card, have, like, a decent match? And I'm at the point where I don't have any tolerance for that anymore, because it just reminds me too much like these. It's too many things I like that are common there and ruined by these asshole fans that are just like, they feel like they need to be catered to. You don't like Roman Reigns? Don't watch Roman Reigns. Like, don't ruin the show for everybody else. Like, I made a joke with Jeremy. Imagine if you went to see Avengers, and every time Iron Man came on the screen, you start booing because you were sick of Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that would be hilarious. If, like, someone did that, I might...
Someone would punch you in the face. Like, you know, like, or you went to... Like, you know, I went to a Sixer game, and I booed Markelle Fultz because they should have drafted Jason Tatum. And we're like, what are you doing? Like, no.
Yeah, I was actually taught from a young age that the booing was not really acceptable. So I'm not kind of big on booing just from an initial standpoint. But yeah, like you said, like I guess at that point, I honestly don't know what it is with the WWE Network. I have way more problems with their feed than New Japan's. I don't know if it's simply because more people are watching it, or if there's something else that's better in New Japan's system that makes it work better for me. But I guess I wasn't completely paying attention during that Reigns match with the crowd reaction. I might have been doing something else.
Yeah, I mean, they crap, and it's funny where they were crapping all over the match till Roman started doing the spots, and then when you do that, the whole oorah thing before the spear, they cheered that. It's like, it's fun. That's the thing that got me. It's like, you're not even authentic in your hatred for him. Because you're still cheering the spots. It's like, you boo the rest of stuff. It's like, if you don't like him, you're really not going to like him. Not, I'm going to, I think some people don't like him. I think a lot of it's just like monkey see, monkey do. And it's just like, you're ruining the show for everybody else, is the whole thing. And this whole chant for CM Punk thing, he ain't coming back. Like, let that die. Like, let it go. As far as the promo thing, I was laughing Monday because last year was like, you know, I was wherever I was watching you not beat Brock Lesnar. Like, he couldn't say what he was doing when that was happening, but he basically like, while I was winning matches, you were choking. And it's just funny because Bobby Lashley said it clumsy, but he was right. It's just funny because he didn't say anything wrong. It's like, you know, you keep saying you beat Brock Lesnar. You haven't beaten Brock Lesnar. Let me do it, and you just sit here and watch me. And it's like, yeah, people. And it's funny because people assume Lashley got signed a feud with Brock Lesnar, so it's like he was talking like dirt sheet stuff.
It's not just to me. It wasn't just dirt sheet stuff. In some ways, just because it's like, this makes way more sense for Bobby Lashley to be that kind of a guy. Like, I felt really bad. That feud that he had with Sami Zayn just had no redeeming qualities.
And don't get me started on that.
But I mean, it's just a contrast. He just, for the promo, this one, he just came out and he's like, nah, I'm here to whoop some ass. And I know I can do it. And like you said, like, he's telling Roman Reigns to just take a seat. And that's the Bobby Lashley that they should be. Like, he's kind of, in a lot of ways, like Batista. Like, I don't know what it is, but the guy just works better as a heel.
Yeah, because he's, you know what it is? He's just better than people, and he knows it. It's no point somebody look like Bobby Lashley being humble. Like, that shit makes no sense. It's kind of like, I saw that obstacle course. That's insane. That man's in his 30s just moving like that, and it's like, yeah, why is he like, I'm just happy to be here with my sisters? Like, that shit, that whole feud was just asinine, because one, it's hard to have big face, small heel.
Yes.
Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, in what world would you think Sami Zayn gonna beat Bobby Lashley? Like, I don't care how many, like, Sami Zayn's entertaining, he made the jokes. It's like, as soon as they have a match, it's gonna be a wrap. Like, you see Sami Zayn, you see Bobby Lashley, what do you think's gonna happen? Like, I watched Animal Planet enough to know how that thing works in nature. So, it's like, the whole skits were dumb, the fake sisters and all. It's like, this is just asinine. And it's like, it's not, all it's going to lead to is Bobby just beating the shit out of him, as he should, because, like, he's bigger, he's faster, he's more athletic, he's, like, Sami Zayn has no advantages besides maybe cardio. And unless they're going to, like, run around like he's Greg the Hammer Valentine, it's not going to make a difference, because they're not going to have a 40-minute match.
Yeah, they are not going to have an Iron Man match to prove that Sami Zayn can out-cardio Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, but that's the problem on Raw, where they have a lot of this whole, these faces are few and with heels smaller than them. Because that's there, Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens, like, that, like, I mean, I almost feel sorry for Kevin Owens, because it's like, what can he do? Like, I mean, he's normally a bully. You ain't bullying Braun Strowman. So, like,
Yeah.
He's there like, you know, I don't want to fight you. Let's be friends. And Bron, like, why don't you friendly catch these hands? Like, it's just kind of like the baby faces are being dickheads and all these feuds. And it's like Raw is weird right now. Like, Raw is real weird. And not even like, I guess, wrap it up, the whole weirdest thing. Why did Dolph Ziggler win the title?
Okay, so this is, and I guess that's the other thing to me that makes the Braun Strowman winning the briefcase thing weird. If Braun Strowman doesn't win the briefcase and it's some heel that wins it, and Seth Rollins drops the IC title, I go, oh, Seth Rollins is taking on Brock Lesnar, right? Well, when Strowman has the briefcase, I mean, that possibility just seems less likely to me. And why is the tag team all of a sudden winning singles gold? I was confused on so many levels with that one. Because someone made the comparison of Ziggler and Drew McIntyre turning into Shawn Michaels and Diesel.
They've been making that comparison since they've been together. I've heard that a lot. And I'm like, yeah, like maybe the Walmart version. Especially with Dolph Ziggler. And it's like, one, I laugh because like they work as a tag team. But Michael Cole, like, look at this most devastating tag team maneuver. I'm like, okay, it's a zigzag and a boot. It's not the Doomsday Device or the 3D. Like, what are we? Come on now. That, like, you get hit with that move and you're in a coma. Like, give me a damn break. And it's like, Dolph Ziggler to me is like Tim Allen. I don't care at this point in life. Like, I've seen him for so long. It doesn't matter what he, like, it's nothing that he can do that will interest me whatsoever. So, it's like, I don't have any ill will against Dolph Ziggler. It's just, I've been watching Dolph Ziggler for a long time, and I'm tired of watching Dolph Ziggler. So it's like, he's still making this a thing. And the most important thing is, who is he going to feud with? Like, you really going to see a whole bunch of matches with Bobby Roode? Like, Raw doesn't have a lot of mid-card baby faces.
I didn't even think about that end of things, to be honest with you.
Like, you can only beat Chad Gable so many times before that gets kind of old.
Well, Chad Gable has definitely lost enough matches that he doesn't really need to lose a whole lot more. Oh my god. I guess it doesn't make any sense to take that belt off of Rollins to me at this juncture. I mean, you really had something going with the IC, and that's the other thing, like, the IC title went from The Miz to Rollins, so I mean, it really was rolling high, and as much as I want to reignite my love for my fellow Golden Flash, Dolph Ziggler, it's just not there. Like, the thing was with him and McIntyre is better, but I guess I still don't understand why McIntyre isn't by himself. Like, normally if there's a big guy that has a little guy by his side, kind of going back to the Enzo and Cass thing, honestly, where you have the little guy as more the mic guy and the big guy is the brute force. McIntyre is good on the mic. Like, he doesn't need someone to talk for him.
Yeah, he doesn't need Dolph Ziggler. Like, ever since they got together, I'm just expecting him to turn on him. It's like, McIntyre is fine by himself. Why? He don't need an anchor like Dolph Ziggler, some damn black hole just dragging him down. Like, they can be, oh, it's the modern day HBK and D's. Like, no, it's not. I don't care how many times you say that, Michael Cole. Like, I have eyes. Like, you know, Drew McIntyre is good now, but he wasn't that big a deal when he first came. I don't care how many times he was called the Chosen One or how you pronounce T.D. Long's name when he was on SmackDown. always making it sound like a damn X-rated slur. Like, it sounded like titty. So, and like, he's in better shape now. He's, you know, he's a better career. He got back from his injury. It's like, it just gets back to Dolph Ziggler. Like, why? It's 2018. I remember, like, the mid-2000s Dolph Ziggler wrestling Edge for, like, the title with Vicky Guerrero on the side. That was a long time ago. And it's 2018. He's still around getting titles, complaining about, I'm still in the show. I'm approved that I can have a 4.5-star match. No, I'm going to have the highest-rated segment on Raw. And it's like, what the hell are we talking about? Like, shut up. You used to be hot shit in the ring when it was like 2008 or even like 2012, 2013. Oof. That time has passed. Like, you are not, you know, the prototype anymore. Like, you can't be on a show with like Sami Zayn and Finn Balor tomorrow, you know, I can have a 3-star match. Like, nah. Like, the, yeah. like that day is over. You still, he's still like, you know, I was the man a long time ago. I'm still the man. Like, yeah, you were the man when the bar was low. When it's like, it's easy to be a good wrestler when it's like, you know, Kane is running around with world champions, like 2 or 3 athletic people. Ever since like the mid-2010s, like when the Shield first came up and, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's and Finn Balor's and AJ Styles, like, no, you are not the top model anymore, Dolph Ziggler, so stop acting like you are.
Well, and that, I guess that's something that I hadn't thought too much on either. Like, yeah, their work rate has gone up vastly. So I guess it's another one of those situations where someone's more expendable. And Dolph Ziggler is, but somehow he's ended up Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, and it's like he keeps getting chance, like, you know, because right before he left SmackDown, he was on there, he's making fun of all these gimmicks, he leaves, comes back, wins the U.S. title, and then gives up the title. Like, I don't want the title. Why they have him winning? It's like, why he keeps getting these chances when they don't know what to do with him?
And, well, and then he disappears again, and then everyone's like, oh, he just signed a big new contract, and it's just like, huh? Like, I don't understand. Like, how did he get a big contract? And it certainly seems like he has a big contract because he has had far more exposure recently. And again, it's one of those things where they almost needed to rebuild him completely, and they've done nothing of the such. You know, he kind of looked okay with McIntyre for a couple of matches, but they also got tossed out of a lot of stuff really quickly. Because there was that tag team, was it a battle royal that they got tossed from?
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a feud. Like, I don't even think they did anything as amazing as Sanity did this week, to be honest with you, in beating up the Usos. Like, they might have, I think they beat down one, did they beat down an important team at all on Raw the past couple of weeks, or just been chumps?
They jumped Seth Rollins after they won the title. Whoop-de-damn-do. Like, congratulations, two guys beat up one guy after having a match. Like, it's just weird, because it's kind of like, they don't need, like, I can see Drew, like, they don't need Dolph Ziggler. Like, and people don't care about Dolph Ziggler anymore, so it's like, why is he? And they haven't been high on Dolph Ziggler for a long time anyway, so it's just weird, like, all of a sudden, it's kind of like, oh, we're going to give him a chance. For what?
Yeah, like you said, like, because I pulled up his career, and, yeah, 2008 was his reintroduction after the Spirit Squad years. So it's been 10 years. And I mean, honestly, his last big story to me, and I can see his storyline with the Authority, he wins that Survivor Series to keep the Authority out of power, and they crapped on him from that moment forward.
Yeah,
I mean, like, they have crapped on him for essentially 4 straight years now.
Yeah, like basically he had the last like big thing that he was successful was the feud with The Miz. And The Miz ended up winning that feud anyway. Like the whole, if you lose, you're going to get fired, you know. So that was actually an awesome feud, but it's like that happened. He finally wins, and then he loses the belt like a month later. So it's kind of like you spent 3-4 months building him back up, rehabilitating, only just crap on him. Like as soon as he wins, it's kind of like, oh, well, he won, now what? It's like when you buy a pet tiger. Like, yeah, I wanted to bet on a tiger. Now I have a pet tiger. What the hell am I going to do? I live in a duplex.
Yeah, not good to play tug of war with a with a lioness either. Somehow I am not surprised that the three people lost to a lioness, even if it was three years old.
Yeah, I kept saying that. They was like wrestlers. I'm like, what wrestlers? And I'm like, wait, is that Cesaro?
Ricochet was one of them. I think it was all NXT guys. Because Ricochet was definitely one of them.
Okay, then it must have been like Oney Lorcan. Like, who's this bald guy that looks like Cesaro? Like, I hadn't even seen The Bar in a while on SmackDown. Like, since they had a feud with the New Day over, like, pancakes or something like that. So.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that's another one that, wow, I kind of completely forgot about them in some ways.
Yeah, because there's this rumor, like, Sheamus is, like, maybe seriously hurt.
Oh.
Like, no, it's almost like they're talking about, like, yeah, like, scoliosis or something like that. Like, it's, I don't know how true it is, but I've been hearing that a lot where it's kind of like they don't know if Sheamus is hurt, these rest seriously hurt, or may like have to retire soon, and like no one's like had a straight answer with that.
Well, yeah, I guess I just found that surprising because I do at least peek in on his Celtic workout videos, because I think that's a pretty funny concept interesting concept to go around to different people's routines, because I'm sure everyone does things differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always amaze the women. Like, when I see somebody like Mandy Rose doing 315-pound deadlifts, and I'm like, she's not that big, and she's out here, like, you know, like she wrestles like she's Scott Norton, and she's like a buck 30 at most. So it's just weird, like, these women where people like in the CrossFit and heavy lifting, like, you know, I saw the NXT thing on Bianca Belair, and it's like, yeah, these women are the super athletes. Like, Kelly would not be able to hang in 2018. Like, yeah, I used to be a Tropicana model, and meanwhile, you got people deadlifting 400 pounds that can do moonsaults. Kelly couldn't even run the ropes. Like, it's just like, yeah, the game has changed. Where the women and the men, like, it's a brave new world where you see this stuff. And one last thing, we talked about Sonya Deville. She gonna need a new gimmick, because you can't do fake MMA when you got real MMA people there. Like, I watch Shayna Baszler, I watch Ronda Rousey. Sonya Deville does not look as impressive after you see those two.
Yeah, and someone, I do remember seeing someone noting online, since the other two horsewomen of the Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler variety are also signed to WWE contracts, you either need to look more crisp or do something different, because that's going to be a bad look in the near future. Yeah, here.
And I don't know how much, like, being gay can work as a gimmick. I mean, like, it's, you got to do more. Like, oh, okay, yes, you're out, and you do shitty judo punches. Like, I've seen, like, that was working. Like, you can't see Ronda Rousey do the stuff she does, and then, like, oh, okay, here you go. Like, I made a joke, like, imagine watching Mortis and WCW doing martial arts, and then WCW signed Jet Li. Like, yeah, it's not gonna look the same. It's like you see somebody can really do it. The fake stuff just looks like, why am I watching the GoBots when you got me Transformers?
Always watch the Transformers.
Yeah, like I made fun of anybody that had GoBots. And that's what I always think about, like now when you got these bootleg style, like, you know. Yeah, but I guess it's one of those good problems where they have so many women now and they can kind of like weed out and figure out what they want to do with these women. So, but like, Sonya Deville, I'm rooting for you. I know you're dating Seth Rollins' old girlfriend. I wish you the best of luck. I hope Mandy Rose doesn't Marty Jannetty you, but I got a feeling that she might.
Well, that sounds like a perfect time to go at DeFrango11, at ShawFarmD, at StuntGrannies, the brand. Rate and review us wherever you listen to us. And I will let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Adulhadi. And kudos to Ronda Rousey for showing how those hands work. We are out.